In the earliest days of the church, the period between the beginning of Lent and Pentecost was the time of intense study of the faith. For the 6 weeks leading up to Easter, candidates were prepared for baptism. They were called catechumens. And then, after their baptism, they were called neophytes, which means young shoots, like spring plants coming out of the ground. And they had another 6 weeks of study so that they would become more knowledgeable and more committed Christians. And so the scripture readings that are used during Lent and during the Easter season are readings that help us to understand the heart of the matter of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. So I'd like to look at each one of today's scripture readings with that thought in mind, that they help us to be better Christians. The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, the history of the early church. And in this particular passage, the reaction of the church in Jerusalem to the conversion of St. Paul is described. Now, to understand this, you have to understand what St. Paul was like before he became a Christian. He was a very faithful and zealous Jew. And he despised the Christian community because he saw it as a distortion of the Jewish faith, and he became a persecutor of the church. On his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, he had an experience of Jesus Christ that changed his life forever. And in today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we see described what happened when St. Paul, this persecutor of the church, came back to Jerusalem. It tells us here, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. They couldn't believe that God had changed St. Paul that much. Now, it did happen. So this reading, in some ways, invites you and I, to believe in the possibility of genuine conversion, beginning with ourselves, and we really can be converted and radically changed, but also to believe that about others, including your wife, or your husband, or your friends. Know that God can do marvelous things to them and for them. I think it's very, very hard, especially for men, to change very much, because if they change, their wives or other people are going to notice it, and they're going to be embarrassed that they were changed or had changed. So it's very, very important for us, when we see conversion taking place in the lives of others, to support that conversion rather than to stand in the way of it. Otherwise, the grace of God might be in vain. So this reading invites us to trust in the power and grace of God to cause conversion in our lives and in the lives of others. The next couple of lines of this reading are also very, very important. It says here, after they had this struggle with St. Paul, Barnabas took charge of him and brought him to the apostles and reported to them how he had seen the Lord and how the Lord had spoken to him and how he began to preach boldly about the Lord Jesus. St. Paul became St. Paul not only because of the grace of God, the grace of conversion, but also because he had a mentor who helped him insert himself into the life of the church. That mentor was St. Barnabas. Now, most of us have heard about St. Paul. Very few of us have heard about St. Barnabas. But St. Paul wouldn't have become St. Paul without his mentor and friend, St. Barnabas, which is a reminder to us that the church today, like the church of the apostles, needs people who are willing to be the mentors of others. Now that begins in our families. You know, our parents are the first mentors of us in our faith. You know, you should marry a man who helps you to be a Christian. You should marry a woman who helps you to be a Christian. You know, our spouses are also called to be mentors of faith for us. But for many of us, the most important mentors of faith are just friends who maybe bring us to church on Sunday. We might not go on our own. Or someone who's had an experience of Jesus like St. Paul had and is able to share that experience with us and get us interested in the faith. So look at your lives. Is God calling you to be a mentor of other people? Here at the Sunday night Mass, I notice there's a lot of mentoring that goes on. You know, oftentimes people bring their friends to church, people who haven't been to church very often. And I'm grateful for that, and I congratulate you on that. That's a wonderful sign of the Holy Spirit working in your lives if you do that. But we can't go to God alone. It's very difficult in today's world, especially, to be a serious Christian without the good example and help of other people. And so I ask the Lord to help you all become Barnabases to the St. Paul's of this community, bringing others to the Lord. So that's today's first reading. Now today's second reading from the first letter of St. John. I just want to read the first sentence to you and reflect on that for a minute. St. John says, "Children," that's the word he uses in describing Christians, that we're children of God. He says, "Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth." Now, I think we naturally understand this. Now, what the world needs today to be convinced of the reality of Jesus Christ is the example of people like ourselves who make a difference in the lives of other people. You know, people are convinced much more by our care for the poor through our Catholic Charities, for example, than they would be by the preaching of the bishop in church. You know? So it's very important, as St. John says, for us to love not in words and speech, not just to talk about it, but in deeds. So we always have to check ourselves against that. Do we practice what we preach? Do we do positive things for other people? But there's a second part to that sentence that we don't think about very often. St. Paul says, "Let us love not in word and speech, but in deed and truth." Now, what does he mean that we have to love in deed and truth? I mean, it means doing good things, but we also have to be willing to speak the truth to people, because the truth sets us free. And to speak the truth isn't being criticized by this reading. St. Paul isn't telling us that we shouldn't speak the truth, but he's saying we shouldn't just have empty words that we don't believe and that we don't practice. But it's also important for us, as we love other people in concrete kind of ways, to give them the truth. And in some sense, this is the most difficult part of being a Christian today. People love our good example, our care for the poor, but they resist when we try to share with them the truth of our faith. You know, the most notorious example of this in our time is the issue of the meaning of marriage. You know, if we say very clearly what the church believes about marriage, that it's a permanent relationship between a man and a woman for the sake of children, it really irritates people. And they call us bigots. And no one wants to be a bigot, so we tend to back away from speaking God's truth in order to have more peaceful lives. But the way we love people and the way we love the world is by doing good things and by speaking the truth of Jesus clearly without compromise to other people. Now, do we do that? And it's a very, very difficult thing. Marriage isn't the only, abortion's another issue. It's just that we live in a world where people don't believe there is such a thing as truth, right? They just believe there's opinions. But those of us who are Christians take God at His word, and we believe what He teaches us because we believe in Jesus. We believe in the one who teaches, and therefore we believe His teachings. Which brings us into today's gospel, which is from the Gospel of St. John. I mentioned last week that in the Gospel of St. John, there are seven different moments when Jesus says something about Himself that reveal to us the full meaning of who Jesus is. Last Sunday, He said, "I am the Good Shepherd." In today's Gospel, from the Gospel of St. John, Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." Now, if you take those words seriously and literally, it tells us something unique about Christianity. Let me give you some examples. Buddhism is full of wisdom. Buddha gave a body of teachings to his disciples. The same thing is true about Confucianism, you know, the ancient religion of China. Confucius is identified with wisdom. So those who are Confucians accept the wisdom of Confucius as part of their life. And to be a disciple means to follow the teachings of the master. Islam is the same thing. Islam claims to be the correct understanding of the inspiration that God gave Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. It's a correction of the teachings of the Christian community, right? Now, if we take Jesus at His word in today's gospel, that He is a vine and we are the branches, we learn something very different about Christianity. In Christianity, Jesus does not simply give us His teachings, He gives us Himself. And to be a Christian means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's not enough to accept His teachings, although we accept them because He's the Son of God and brings us the gift of wisdom. Jesus demands much more of us. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. And that's clearly expressed in this image of the vine and the branches. Now, how many of you have a vine growing in your backyard? A few people. I'm surprised because most people in Philadelphia don't have vines, at least not grapevines. You know, we might have other kinds of vines, but you know that it's essential for the life of the flower or the cluster of grapes for there to be an unbroken connection with the vine. If the twig is broken or the branches are cut, almost immediately the flower or the group of small little grapes dries up and dies. You have to have a living, ongoing relationship with the vine if you're going to be a living branch. And that's what Jesus tells us in today's gospel, that He is the vine and we are the branches. And it's from that relationship with Him that we receive the sap of Christian life that makes us genuine Christians. And so we ask ourselves on this fifth Sunday of Easter, do we have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Also, we learn in today's gospel that Jesus' Father, you know, when Jesus preached, He didn't preach about Himself, He preached about the Father, is the vine grower or vine dressers who prunes, which helps us understand the struggles of our lives. You know, we think that if God loves us, if God is truly our Father, He's going to make life easy for us. Things are going to go smoothly. We're not going to have difficulty and we're not going to have pain. If something bad happens to us, we're tempted to think that we must have done something wrong. God is punishing us for something. But Jesus tells us that his Father is the vine dresser who cuts away what's useless and prunes the vines. Now, if you grow grapes, you can understand what this means. You know, the grapes grow in little clusters, and there's several clusters on each of the branches. But if you want the grapes to really grow and mature, you cut off all the straggling clusters in order for the life of the plant to focus on making the cluster of grapes really grow and to be ripe. And it's through that pruning that strength comes and that life is given in abundance. That's true about your life and my life. You know, these prunings that we receive from the Father are for us. They're for our growth. You know, I know many people who tell me that the change in their life that really counted is when they got very sick and they began to face the really important, serious things of life, or when they lost their important job and had to struggle to support their family. Now, and it all depends really on how we see these kind of painful experiences in life and whether they're going to help us to grow or they're going to stand in the way of us being happy. We don't have to like suffering. In fact, it would be silly to like it. But to understand that it's only in suffering, in the stretching of ourselves, in sacrificing for others, that we come to an abundance of life. At the beginning of Mass today, I prayed a prayer that I don't think many people really understand. Listen to the prayer once again. Almighty, ever-living God, constantly accomplish the Paschal mystery within us. And what does that mean? What is the Paschal mystery? These are church words that are hard for us to understand naturally. Now, the word Paschal is the English translation of the Latin word for Easter. So another way to say this would be, Father, accomplish constantly the Easter mystery within us. And the Easter mystery is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. To be a disciple means to constantly allow that process to take part in our lives, to take place in our lives, rather. We have to allow ourselves to die in order to live. We have to allow ourselves to suffer in order to be happy. We have to allow ourselves to be generous and self-giving in order to be personally fulfilled. It seems like contradictions, but the way to happiness is the way of the Easter mysteries, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. May God bring to completion in our lives this Easter mystery during this Easter season.